Test, test.
You got a mic, bro? Here you go. You can use that one.
Test, test.
Well, that's loud.
Where do you want it?
Right here. Test, test.
Can you tell the church it's cleaner?
Yes.
Pressure wash tomorrow. They try to get started painting, or not painting, but just wrapping up some stuff today. They said that lightning almost got them on the roof.
Oh, my God.
So I didn't mean to laugh.
Me too.
All right, welcome everyone. Wednesday night Bible study, prayer meeting. And hope everybody's been having a good day today, good week this week. Storms weren't that bad where I live last night, this morning. But some of the folks down in Louisiana, not sure if Texas got hit or not. Texas. Round Drop, Texas. And, of course, Louisiana, and I think, I don't know how many casualties, I only heard of one, one's enough, but let's remember those people tonight in our prayers, and looks like we're going to have some good weather for the remainder of the week. Praise the Lord for that, and always enjoy good weather. And I just want to remind everybody tonight that Brother Michael's going to be sharing his heart with us this evening. And it might be testimony, it might be a message, it might be a lesson. And so I just told him to feel free to share what he wants to share tonight. So looking forward to that. And we got a whole front row occupied on this side. And they're just kind of sitting there. And but anyway, that's exciting news. Just a new ministry here. Excited about that. And I was talking with someone before service tonight. We want to get this ministry, other ministries, and get outside the doors of the church. And that's what it's all about. That's my heart tonight aches for our community and lost people. And so I feel like that's what God's doing. I feel like He is positioning us to think outside the box and independent fundamental Bible believing Baptist churches. That's kind of hard to do when it comes to tradition and all. But hey, we're wanting to think outside the box. We're wanting to reach souls, and I believe the Lord's going to bless that. And church is going to be painted tomorrow. It is prepped. And I don't know the last time it was painted, but it's going to be painted tomorrow and maybe even Friday. And they pressure washed everything and general prep work. All the little cracks and chip paint, all that was taken off. So we're excited. I have a picture of the church before. And it was our Facebook, church Facebook page cover. And you couldn't see it, you know, because all the beautiful bushes and all. But now, you can see it. There is a church here, and it looks like a much bigger church. And so my heart is, let's use this as an opportunity to relaunch here at Calvary. I believe it's making a statement by painting the church, and then we're going to start on the inside and here a little bit in the hallways, and it's making a statement. And so hey, let it be our relaunch into the community. And so that's what we're going to do. We're excited about that. Let me jump into some requests tonight, updates and some announcements, and then we're going to pray, and then Brother Jeff get the song ready for us. So then Brother Michael will turn it over to him. Funeral services for Brother Ken Bryant will be tomorrow at the Winkenhofer Pine Ridge over off of Highway 41. Visitation is going to be at 4 o'clock till 6. Funeral is going to be at 6 there in the chapel. And then there's going to be a graveside in Blairsville on Friday, I believe it's 1. Somebody can correct me if I'm wrong on that. But I got it jotted down at home. And at a United Methodist Church. And I got the actual name at home. So, but nonetheless, 4 to 6 tomorrow there off Highway 41. Winkenhofer, Brother Ken. Just remember the family. I think I met Brother Ken one time, I think. I believe he and maybe Miss Barbara were together, and I think it was maybe here in church. And from what I hear, they had a pretty good outreach ministry and had tracts and cards that they handed out back then. And so that's something we're definitely going to do here. So remember the family there. Remember Miss Ruby Harper, as she had her second skin cancer surgery, and she's doing good. Miss Helen Bennett, she goes on the 4th of April for surgery consultation. Remember her. Remember our children's home, our house parents. I believe Max goes tomorrow to see if he can get those watch. All right. Well, we will pray to that end that he has some wires taken out. Also, Miss Catherine contacted me today and said there was a message left on the answer machine here to church. I believe it was on the last night of Jubilee or during Jubilee. A lady named Debbie Ramsey. Debbie, does anybody know Debbie Ramsey? You do, Miss Cheryl? Okay. Anyway, she requested prayer. If I've seen her face, I probably recognize her. The last name sounds familiar. I don't think she's a member. You think? Okay. So she requested prayer. Mike Mullins, missionary, his wife, thyroid cancer. Do we have any updates, Miss Leah and Miss Mary, on that? let's just continue to remember them and as they're going through this new phase of life. Brother Eddie Rich and his back, skin cancers, he has to have removed soon. Miss Amy, she's doing better. Good. For those that don't know, Miss Amy took a fall off a motorcycle, and so praise the Lord that she is alive and on the road to recovery. Let's remember Ed Sandy. Miss Cassie called me this morning. The first call, Brother Ed was having some stomach trouble, maybe appendicitis. Am I saying that right? So he was in the hospital. He's coming home. Miss Marianne is still in Florida, and her sister is in hospice care. She has severe lung damage and trouble, and so remember her. Let's remember Nancy and Bobby McClendon, their daughter Kelly Conley, and son Tanner at the loss of her husband, his dad. As they try to rediscover life, you know, this new path. But let's remember them in our prayers. Brother David Smith, that preached on Tuesday night Jubilee. I still haven't got an update from him. Last Wednesday, he was to go to get a biopsy. And I'm sure he didn't, you know, they didn't tell him anything then. But let's remember Brother David. T.D. Burgess and the tumor on his brain, remember him. Miss Mary Kelly, she has a big need. She's looking for a place to live, and of course there's a budget in place with that, so just remember her. Miss Cassie's working with Miss Mary Kelly trying to find her a place. Travis Puckett, the one who made the profession of faith during Jubilee, I can't get a hold of him. I don't mean to be mean or anything, but I wonder if he got saved. you know, I can't get in touch with him. I can't get in touch with him. Yeah, Lord knows. But anyway, I hope he truly did get saved. And but let's remember him in our prayers. Charlie Wilson, Parkinson's disease, broken hip, prostate cancer. I believe his wife, Miss Brenda, has some elements she's battling as well. Miss Darlene Hancock mentioned a prayer request Sunday morning, and it was about a young girl, maybe teenage girl, that got in a bad car accident. I believe that's right. But let's remember her in our prayers as well. Chuck and Cece Prestridge, her mother that's battling breast cancer. Leonard and Dolores Palmer, his eye. After that surgery, it's about closed up. Doctor said it's making small improvements, but not as fast as Brother Leonard would like. Let's remember the Teagues, our shut-ins, our military, our leaders, our president, Ukraine, a few more church folks I put on at the very end here. Randy and Diane Ely, his niece's hip, Brother Harold, Brother David, Miss Glenda, their friends Gary and Kim. A lot of prayer requests, a lot of things to pray about, and so we'll go to the Lord in prayer here in just a moment. And I always like to emphasize unrushed prayer, because it's all about prayer. It's all about lifting these folks up in prayer and asking God to do amazing things in their life to help them out. And let's see, I mentioned the church is getting painted tomorrow. This coming Sunday night will be our Sunday night fellowship downstairs in a fellowship hall. But we're going to be honoring Miss Cassie. Miss Cassie, she graduated college. She got her some type of nursing degree. I'm not really sure exactly what she got. But we were talking not long ago, and from what she said, they didn't even honor her, let her walk or anything. I know some of it was pandemic related, but there was no makeup walk, no nothing like that. So I said, we're proud of you here at Calvary. I said, we're going to honor you, have you a cake, and have a banner with your name on it. And so we are proud of her. And hey, during Jubilee, Miss Cassie, she jumped up and handled business. There you go. There's the maker of the banner. Wonderful, wonderful. Yeah. So, Miss Cassie, if you're watching, there's some surprises going on that you don't see. And Miss Cassie jumped up and handled business when a woman that was visiting, she got word that her husband called and said he was having a heart attack. And it looked like she was about to have a heart attack. And so, but I'm very proud of our security team, our help team. Miss Cassie was on it. Brother Chuck, I believe, followed her all the way home and then went to the gas station or Walgreens to get some medicine for her husband. And so very, very proud. That is so great, so nice. And so we're going to honor Miss Cassie on Sunday night. We'll have some food. And, of course, I'll bring a devotion, a thought that on Sunday night. Easter's coming up. We'll remember that. We'll have a freshly painted church. We got a dogwood that's blooming. And I'm excited about that. I really am. Lift up the Lord. And then, of course, Brother Michael, he'll be speaking here in just a few moments. All right, did I leave anything out? I'm sure I did. But does anybody have an update, request? Something you just got to say. What's his name? Chad. Yeah, Hallback. And this is a cancer.
Kidney transplant.
Oh. Mm. So he got a kidney, or is he on the list? It's a blessing on one end. On the other end, it's harsh because someone has to pass before you get that. But I'm glad for organ donors. That's a tremendous blessing there. We'll remember him. Anybody else? All right. Well, let's remember the young people downstairs and those that are teaching downstairs as well. I believe, let's see, Brother Snyder told me that Lex Luger spoke here a long time ago, the former wrestler, and he was here Jubilee Sunday morning, and he's going to be speaking over at Grace in the morning, or lunchtime at 12:50, Grace Christian School, and so I want to go hear Brother Lex speak a word, and so remember that for tomorrow. That's going to be exciting. And then the funeral, of course, tomorrow evening at 6 o'clock. All right, all that would and would like to meet me in the altar, you can. You can pray right where you're at. I always like to emphasize that every time. You don't have to move a muscle. But we will come down and pray, and then Brother Jeff has a song just after. before Brother Jeff sings, I want to apologize for that statement I said about Travis, who came down and got saved. I shouldn't have said that. And so my apologies. Holy Spirit hits you right in the heart. Brother Jeff, whenever you're ready. We run to the gas stations, had the gas in our pajamas, like I said, we weren't in our pajamas.
start waving this man down about these puppies. Well, he actually delivered them two houses up from us. He went and got the packages and he delivered them to us at about 9 o'clock last night. So if God is not in control of this puppet team, I don't know what is.
Amen. Most definitely. She was more concerned about where could they went and whose hands could have had them. Because we all know that depending on where you're at, which we live in a nice neighborhood. So if it was one of our neighbors, they would probably wait till morning and brought it to us. But we wanted to make sure that we actually had them at least in our neighborhood. And that we did. So we're thankful of that. This morning, you're actually going to be in a twofold treat. I'm going to share a little bit of my testimony, hit some highlight things. I'll warn you up front, a lot of it is laughter in there, but at the same time, there is some parts that is sad. I had one person one day told me, you know what, your testimony is kind of sad and depressing. And I looked at her and I said, well, I said, you say that. I said, but in all honesty, I said, it just shows the power of what God can do. And I share those testimonies with you because in everything that has happened from where I've been and to where I'm at, it's been because of who God is and nothing of who I am. It all starts back really when I was real young at the age of 3. She knows where I'm going with this. How many of you at the age of 3 had a clue what you did when you were 3 years old? We don't. Neither do I. And this comes from not, well, I kind of live with the problem of it to this day. But I've heard it from the stories from my parents telling me what a mischievous child I was at an early age of 3. We lived in an apartment complex. And that was the first place that my parents reserved once they got out of the military. I came after my dad resigned the military, and they moved in these apartment complex, and they stayed there for a while, all the way up until I was 5 years old, almost 6, and they decided it was time to move on, because at the age of 3, I was already sneaking out of my parents' house, and they didn't realize it, but one night it caught up with me, because about 3 in the morning, they get at the door, and this older teenage girl goes, I have your son, and you need to open the door. And my mom is thinking, which son? They're in bed. But she knew who the girl was, so she opened the door. And there I was, wrapped in some materials that they had to keep my foot from bleeding, but I sliced my foot all the way to the bone. Just gushing blood. You could only imagine. When the doctors took the stitches out, he ended up clipping my nerves. So when I started growing, I ended up discovering that I had a clipped nerve, and they had to go in and give me a block for it and different things. But at age 3, so, and a lot of people are like, you sure you did that? Absolutely. That's what my parents says. I got the scars to prove it. So at age 3, I was sneaking out of my parents' house. At the age of 5, I was talking like the best sailor in town and tried chewing tobacco, which turned me green. And again, this is what my parents has told me. And they were trying to figure out why I was green, and I popped up. Well, I was just eating some of this canned stuff that my dad chews. And they just looked at me like, oh, no. By the time I was 6 and 7, I tried smoking cigarettes. Didn't like that either. And at the age of 8 was the bad mistake because my granddad enjoyed drinking alcoholic beverages. And I remember being with him one night, and I thought, you know what, I wonder what it would be like. So I went down there to his kitchen, popped a top, and had a good old time. But the problem was I liked it. So you could imagine at the age of 8 finding something that you liked. And at this point, between ages 8 and 5, I was in 3 different kindergarten schools. I was a rowdy kid. My parents went to school probably more times than they wanted to. Ended up busting a kid's head wide open on the playground, dropped a brick on his head. He came down the slide, and I busted his head. Now, the funny story, probably think, why are you sharing that with me? Now, the funny part was, we moved. And my parents thinking, good, we get them away from the troubled people. I'll be, would you believe when school started up again, guess who was in my class? That same boy. Did you think, did you think we became good friends, or do you think we were enemies? We became friends. My parents were okay with it. His parents, not okay. Now, about 20 years later, guess what? Over 20 years later, because I'm 40 now, and that was when I was 9. 40 years old now, so that's what, about 31 years later? He's still a friend today. Despite what his parents thought, we remained as friendship. And his parents wouldn't let me come over, and that was fine. He was welcomed at my house. And we actually lived in the same, well, neighborhood, if you want to call it the country neighborhood. But going back to the things that I was doing as a teen, as a young kid going into my teenage years, I was just one thing after another. And I remember going into the sixth grade right after the summer break. The teacher walked up into the classroom and he goes, I'm your English teacher, you're this teacher, that teacher. He said, so what I'm going to do, went to a small school. There was 80 that graduated my class. And he goes, so he said, I want you to write a 4-page report what you did with your grandparents. Now, you think I had a good rapport with at least my mom's side of grandparents? No, not really. And I asked him, I said, can I have a different topic? He said, oh, no, y'all are all young. Y'all had a wonderful time with y'all's grandparents. I said, are you sure you want me to write 4 pages worth? And I'm sitting there in the back of my mind. I didn't know how to tell him. I don't have 4 sentences. So me being the rambunctious kid, I wrote this. At the age of 3, my mom lost her mom. Never knew her. My dad's grand on my mom's side, her dad's nothing but a drunk, with some few extra words there. And then on my dad's side of the family, I put, well, his mom passed away when I was 5, and his dad, don't know, don't care. And was basically about the sum of it. And I handed it to him. He just looked at me, and he said, ask for 4 pages. I said, yeah, but read what I wrote. And I could see his face turn red, and went, he goes, come on, you and I, we're going to the principal's office. And I'm sitting here thinking, what's new? So get up to the principal's office. He looks at it, and he says, is this right? I said, yes, sir. He said, okay. He gets up, goes down the hall, and goes to the counselor's office. And she calls me in and goes, is this right? I said, yes. And she goes, did you ask for another topic? I said, absolutely. I said, I could have wrote about anything. I said, I could have wrote about the things that we did with the family going to Florida and going to this place and that place. But he said, I had to stick to my grandparents. And she's like, really? I said, yes. And she goes, you may be excused. And as I was walking out, called him into the office. Never again did he give us one topic to choose from. I wonder why. When I was 12, I did drama growing up as a child, believe it or not. I did do some things that was fun. Drama was one of them. Playing baseball was another. But in this one particular drama, I decided to walk the aisle, and I told my mom that I think I'm ready to get saved. And she goes, okay. So that was 12. At age 12, did I meant it? Absolutely. But did it stick real well? No, not really. Because I only stayed in church just for a few months because my dad ended up, the company he worked for 13 years, decided to close its doors because the guy mishandled money and gambled the company away. So my dad did the only thing at the time he could find, which became a truck driver across 48 states. And my dad was like a grandparent to me. We went fishing together. We played. He was my baseball coach. He was my bowling coach. Despite the things I did, he was still part of it. So for me, it was like I lost so much. But in reality, he was doing what a dad had to do, provide for the family. And of course, with him not there, we didn't go to church as much. Guess what? It didn't take real long for me to get back to the same old habits. But those habits got worse. And where I was at, country, guess what grows in the country? A good sales opportunity. Yeah, my parents probably wished it would have been corn. But I remember at the age of 13, rolling, selling, being just a typical teenager. And by the time I was in high school, the beer became a lot stronger. And to me, that was just fine. It was okay because that was who I was. That's what I knew. Everybody knew me as the beer drinking buddy. And then they later called me and said, no, we're not going to call you a beer drinking buddy. You're too expensive. And they weren't where I was getting the money at. I don't know where that money was coming from. But I was always considered the least likely to be the one involved in it. But at the same time, the teachers, if they actually took time and actually looked at my grades and the, how much trouble I stayed in, it was like, how could you have missed it? But all that surely changed. When I graduated, I was 19, but from my ninth grade year to my senior year was like a whirlwind. If you met me when I was in ninth grade and you met me when I was in 12th grade, you would have been like, where did this kid come from? And I say that because when I was 17 years old, I got a call of a time that was more shocking than ever. I was going to get my dad coming in from a truck driver. My mom and I, we'd went and came in. At the time, my parents wouldn't let me have a cell phone. I don't know why. Probably because they knew how much trouble I would have caused if I had one. But on the voicemail, a good friend of mine left a message, and he never left a message on the voicemail. So when I heard his voice saying hello, I knew something was wrong. He says, when you get this, he said, I know it's going to be late because you're having to go all the way up to Laverne, Tennessee, is where we traveled to and back. And he says, I know you're going to Laverne, Tennessee. He says, so it's going to be late, but go ahead and call me. And that's what I did, was instead of calling him, I thought, you know what, you're only three pastures over. You know you're in the country when you're talking about pastures, right? Three pastures over, I'll just hop in the car and just drive around because your parents are probably going to be asleep. But when I get there, the lights of the house were still on. I thought, this ain't good. And I knocked on the door, and he said, Michael, you were planning on hanging out with, and he listed not one or two or three names, but seven names. My name would have been the eighth one had it not been for my dad coming in on a weekend that he wasn't scheduled to. And it was all because of who God is. He looked at me and he said, all seven of them was involved in a car accident. And I said, how are they? And he looked at me. They didn't make it. They had too much alcohol, got on one of the curvy roads, and decided to play chicken with their cars, not wearing a seatbelt, collided at almost 100 miles an hour. Nobody stood a chance. They were all killed at the scene. And I, at that moment, that could have been me. In between that time, my mom cleaned at a church as a janitor, and there was this youth guy that was there. I thought he was annoying. He kept bugging me to come to church, come to church. And just like any other teenager, I had my excuses. I had my reasons on why not to. And that night, when I made it home, my sister looked at me. She's 2 years older than I am. And she looked at me and she said, what was that about? And I told her. And she looked at me and she goes, on Sunday, she said, we'll go to church. Without hesitation, we got up and we went to church. For the rest of my sophomore, junior year, I did nothing but went to church. Didn't do anything else. Didn't want to do anything else because of the people that I hung out with, the friends that I had, they were gone. Majority of them. I had a few that was left. About three or four. Out of the 12 or 15 that I did hang out with because some committed suicide. And my senior year was when things really changed for me. Our youth minister, before school started, took us to a camp and he challenged the seniors. He said, you got one more opportunity in your school to do something different, to do something that's amazing. And he asked, what will you do? So I thought for a moment, and I asked myself, what will I do? Didn't have a clue. But when I went on National Day of Prayer to the flagpole, acquaintance, I didn't even really knew the kid. At a small of a school we were, I didn't know him. But he walked up to me and he said, Michael, he says, I want to do something amazing for our school. I want to do something that will change it upside down. He says, do you have any ideas? I said, no, I don't. And he says, how about your youth minister? I said, no. I said, he just resigned. I said, right now they have me filling the role of a youth minister. I said, but I really don't have a clue what I'm doing. I said, but I'm with you. And he goes, okay. So he goes back to his home church and talks to his youth minister, and he says, yeah, I got some ideas for you. So we went, we sat, we had lunch together one day on a weekend, and we came out with a program called First Priority. Long story short, that year, it did not get started until January. But from January to May, we have one or two here and there getting saved. And then some of the students goes, how about at the end of the year we do something big? So we plan something big. The day of it, my phone rings, and the band that was coming, the speaker was sick. The band had trouble getting there as far as their vehicle breaking down, and they said, we won't be able to make it. And I said, okay, I totally understood. So I thought to myself, God, I got about 100 people that's going to show up at a high school expecting an event. What do you expect me to do? And about 10 minutes passed, my phone rings. I answered it. This guy goes, this is Gary. You don't know me, but. You got to love those buts, right? But. He goes, I'm in a band. He said, we play rock and roll Christian music. And he says, I give a testimony. He said, I used to play hard rock and roll. He said, I used to go to bars and playing that scene and all. He said, but God laid on my heart. He said, I saw one of your posters around town, and I want to give you a call to see if there's anything our band can do. He said, we can play tonight. He said, we're open tonight. He said, so we can come and play a cover band for you if you need us to. He said, I'd be glad to share my testimony. He said, whatever you need. I didn't know this guy from Adam. I told him what predicament I was in. He said, you know what? He said, we'll take over. We got started 2 hours late. Out of 100 people, only 30 people stuck around. And when the invitation came, not one was saved. About half the group that was there out of that 30 was saved that night. And it was like God was saying, this is what I've called you to do, to reach others for Christ, and trust me to fill in the details. Sometimes when we do things, God will fill in the details, even though in the midst of the chaos, we don't understand it. This evening, I'm going to share with you a very short Bible study with y'all about I Am. And the question tonight is going to be at, if you were I Am and you were to fill in the blank with I Am, what would that blank be? I'm going to have a word of prayer, and I'm going to let you think about that, and then I'll proceed. Don't worry, it's not going to be too long, folks. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that you're the God that gives direction. We thank you that you're the God that when all craziness seems to be, I thank you that you're the one that calms the storms. And I pray as we just take a few minutes to look at the Word of God to see what you say about I Am, I pray that you speak to each and every one of us. Let us forget about the worries of what lies outside these four walls, but let us focus on what you would speak to us tonight. In Christ's name that I do pray, Lord. Amen. Do you ever feel like God couldn't possibly use you? I think we would all say yes to that question. Because when I was called into ministry, I wasn't searching for it. It found me. Do you remember in scriptures, there's some folks that just wasn't your type of person that you would think God would use, but he used them anyway? How about Noah? He was a drunk. Abraham was too old. Isaac was a daydreamer. Joseph was abused. Moses, I often put myself in Moses' shoes. He had a stuttering problem, which I did all the way up until the eighth grade. And sometimes it still comes out, but who would ever know, right? Gideon was afraid. Sometimes we get afraid to take leaps of faith. Samson had long hair and was a womanizer. Rahab was a prostitute. Jeremiah and Timothy, they were too young. David was an adulterer and a murderer, but yet a man after God's own heart. Elijah was suicidal. Isaiah preached naked. Jonah does what most of us do. We run from God. Naomi was a widow. Job went bankrupt. John the Baptist ate bugs. Peter denied Christ. The disciples fell asleep while praying. Brother Justin, that's okay. If church goes to sleep, they did that to Jesus too. Martha, she worried about everything. In fact, some people called Martha the worried wart. The Samaritan woman was divorced more than once. Zacchaeus was way too small. Paul was too religious. Timothy had an ulcer. And Lazarus, I think we heard by now, but he was dead. But they all had one thing in common. They were used by God. God's plan often takes us to hopeless basket case situations to give God an opportunity to show his power. I am. What's that blank for you? Be honest with yourself. Be honest with me. Not as me directly, but him. I am afraid. I am lonesome. I could die. I am tired. I am worried. I am trapped here. I am old. I am a failure. I am incomplete. I am imperfect. I am mad at God. Has anybody ever been mad at God? I know I have been. In fact, another one of those moments, church. Go ahead and prepare you. First church I was called to serve, not as youth minister, but interim of youth minister, which means I'm only going to be there for a short time. The pastor blew out his knee, and he asked me to come and fill in because summer was approaching. So as I went, things were going great. In fact, we had 10 people scheduled to go to camp, ended up with 30, then 40, almost 60 people. Had to charter a bus. But you know what? I was glad because one of those youth that went with us, that would have been his last opportunity. On July the 5th, when I was at work, I had a phone call from the youth minister. And he said, "Michael, when you get off, give me a phone call." I gave him a call. And he said, "Dustin." And I said, "Yes, I know Dustin." Now, Dustin was a special child to me because he had all the same elements that I had growing up as a child, other than his parents were divorced. Mine to this day are still married, praise God. His parents were divorced, and he was also on probation, which for me, because of the connections I had, it never came to that, thank goodness. It pays to know the chief police and assistant chief police in a small town. And he was on probation, and if you know anybody on probation, they're not allowed to go on a trip of any kind. They have to stay home. But I got special permission to take him on that trip, which I was thankful because that day I got a call that said he went to a place to go swimming up in High Falls where we're at, which is a rough area to go swimming, and they said they cannot find him. And I said, okay. I said, what do they think? They said, at this time, they don't know, but they're bringing in divers. And that was at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and the incident happened about 12 o'clock. About 7 o'clock that evening, the divers goes, "We found something." They're going down to pull it out, and they go in and pull it out, and when he fell, he lodged between the rocks and never came back up. Talking about being mad at God, yeah, I was mad at God, because the very reason why I got involved in church, not even really in an actual ministry position, I lose a youth in my own group. The one that the night before we went skateboarding and I taught them some tricks on skateboarding. And that same night, he's like, "How about you come over to my house and we play some video games?" And I turned it down because I had to get up and go to work. So yeah, at first, yeah, I was mad at God. But I didn't give up on him. I didn't give up on ministry. I am. The number one thing that you can put in that blank is, I am a child of God. I am worthy because he is worthy. In Exodus chapter 3, verses 13 through 14. And Moses said unto God, "Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them?" And God said unto Moses, "I am that I am." And he said, "Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you." I am. This is the first time where God spoke and he mentions that I am. And throughout Scripture, you have Jesus that speaks that I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the branches. And then in Revelation, we find that I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, and the end. I am. Church, we're living in a time where we want to come up with excuses on why we can't serve God because we're too much of a basket case. But I am can take care of us. And the reason why I'm using the terminology basket case tonight, did you know that in King James Bible, 7 different Hebrew words is used for basket? We're going to look at them real quick. One, there were baskets used to serve bread. There were baskets woven from twigs that were skillfully made by people. Number 3, there were baskets used to gather grapes. 4, there were baskets used to gather the first fruits offerings. 5, there were baskets that kind of looked like birdcage used to keep fruit. 6, there were special baskets to gather figs and keep the figs. 7, there were heavy baskets used to carry the clay in Egypt to make the bricks they were required to make. Interesting. Baskets for various purposes and various reasons. And at the end, when we look at it to us, we are all basket cases. But we're all saved by the same grace. We're all saved by the same Father. And his name is Jesus. Basket case today, total meltdown, unable to cope, a person or a thing that is regarded as useless, no hope, can't change, forever trapped, difficulties, unable to correct. I am or am I? It may seem as the plan of God is a basket case. Never. Watch what God does. Church, going back to my senior year, when half the crowd got to the point where they realized that they needed Jesus, I couldn't have done it. When it was all falling apart and I wondered what would I do next, I couldn't have put a service together that quick. But God already had a plan. And each and every time that we allow God to move and let God use us, I am, will stand up, show up, and show out. Church, just like this one, along with a bunch of others, they're asking this one particular question: what will God have me to do? It's not about the me. It's about setting aside and letting God be God. The church will have church when the church allows God to be God. A couple of scriptures I want to leave y'all to think on tonight. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. The old me has already been swept away. Those are just a remnant of what I used to be, a testimony to what God can take and how God can use somebody. I graduated with the lowest GPA that the school ever seen. I was told I was a failure and couldn't do. Mom can tell you how many times I came home and telling a teacher that said, I can't. In fact, my senior year, I took the graduation exam. They set it to the highest standard that was ever for our whole state. I had to pass that exam. And I took it not once, not twice, not three, not four, but all the way up to the fifth time. And going into the fifth time, they said, you know what, you got one more shot to be able to walk the aisle and graduate with your class. I even took the GED. They said, like, if you pass the GED, we'll still let you walk. I took the GED test. Did not pass it. I was given my last chance to pass it, and I said, God, you know me. I'm just want to be your servant, your child. And if you want me to pass this, you're going to have to perform a miracle. I remember went in, and I took the test, and I waited. Guess what? I passed that test. I walked with my class with a high school diploma. My last math course that I took was geometry, which was a requirement to be able to graduate. And I get my final exam, and I had a 58. Ruh-roh. 2 points off. And the teacher looked at me and said, that's okay, because you tried. I went in, day out. But you know what? That's all in the past. But I have a diploma. Old things pass away. Thankfully, the bad parts of high school is over with. They've passed on. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I live by the faith, the Son. And church, if that doesn't get you excited, I don't know what will. Because if I was living by my own will, my own might, my own power, I would be one thing, a failure. But because of who God is, as Peter cried out to Jesus when he was walking on the water, he does the same. He picks us up and he saves us. What is your I am tonight? Can you say, I am a child of God? Or are you saying, I am old me? That blank is going to be filled by something. But I'd rather fill it with, I am a child of God. Because this world will pass away, but there's a day that's coming when I'll stand in his presence for all of eternity. And it's not because of who I am, or it's not because of what I've done, but it was what he done. And I'm glad to be a part of that. I'm glad to be a part of a puppet ministry that only God knows where it's going to go. I'm proud to be a part of a church that recognizes that the I am is Jesus Christ. And I wish every church would catch on that the I am in the church is Jesus Christ. He said, I am the first and the last, and the last days are upon us. And I'm ready. But I'm not quite ready yet, because there's still others I want to bring up to heaven with me. So church, can I ask you this one question tonight? Are you wanting to bring others with you? Then what are you willing to do to bring them? That's a whole other message for another time. But there's opportunities, not disopportunities. There's an opportunity, and the question that you can ask is, God, what will you have me to do? Let's pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are the I Am. You give us life, you give us breath, but above all, Father, you are the Savior for our world today. We live in a generation that's hurting, and they're looking for answers in all the wrong places. I think we all have at some point in time, just at different levels to different measures, Father. And I just pray for this church, because the Word of God says, upon this rock I build my church. And this is the rock, the foundation, which is Jesus Christ. And I thank you for it. I thank you for the leadership of Justin, Father. And I just pray that as things begin to happen, that we remember that it is because of you and nothing else. In Christ's name, I do pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Did you enjoy that tonight? Let's give a round of applause. You know, I was thinking in your message, testimony message, there toward the end, how many people did Peter reach? I mean, we know at least 3,000 on the day of Pentecost, plus. But who reached Peter? Andrew. And you don't really hear a lot about Andrew. But Andrew shared the gospel with Peter, led him to the Lord, and then Peter was used greatly for thousands to get saved. I think a lot of times we get kind of overwhelmed at the commands of God, especially go ye out to all to the highways and hedges and preach the gospel. And I think sometimes we quit before we get started, you know, kind of talk ourselves out of it. But you know, it starts with one, just one. A church one time had a thing they had going on called Each One, Reach One. Each One, Reach One. And you know what the fruit of a Christian is? It's another Christian. In fact, in the book of Acts, it says that, talking about the disciples, those early apostles, that they turned the world upside down and only started with 12 of them. And I was thinking this before we close as well, that there's strength in numbers. All it takes is a couple people bonding together the same vision, a unique vision for souls, and their strength in numbers. Pound the pavement, be a witness. And tonight, that's what we're going to do. So we're going to try to reach Powder Springs. Thank you, Brother Michael. We appreciate the good word tonight, brother. Anything to mention before we close? All right, well, you're the cream of the crop. You're here. It's Wednesday night. And so preaching to the choir. Anyway, everyone just have a blessed and safe rest of the week. And tell somebody about the Lord. Invite them to church. I guarantee you they'll hear the gospel. And so we'll just go ahead and be dismissed. And everyone have a great night.